Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything. Mr. Curiosity.
Curiosity. Folks, do you like the opening song? Because that's all me. I performed all the instruments, wrote it, sang it. What do you think? Come on. All right. If you're new to podcast, this is it, man. This is the only one that matters. I am Mr. Curiosity, otherwise known as Joe Snedeker. If you have never heard of me or this, we're NewsWatch 16 in Northeastern PA, the premier news outlet. A few years back, I did a segment called Mr. Curiosity, and I would just find the answers to things that boggle and bother my mind. Like, why do some people have heart attacks while others don't? Why do dogs have wet noses? The list goes on, and I had to find the answers to these things. So it had a little break for a few years, but now it's back in podcast form. And I am Mr. Curiosity. I'm curious about things, and we hope to do these podcasts once a week, twice a month, four times a month. That would be once a week. You get the idea. We'll see how it goes. Spread the word. Keep listening. So here's my curiosity this week. Mrs. T's pierogies. Did you know they're in every state? Do you know they're one of the top frozen food items that you can buy? Yeah, they're like in the top 50. This is big. This is huge. And what we have to do is find out how it started, where it started, why it started, and how it continues onward. Get to some viewer questions. We're doing it all today, man, because I'm curious about Mrs. T's pierogies. And you probably thought, what is that name, Mrs. T's? Well, we went right to the source, a guy named Tom Twardzik. The Twardzik family is the T in Mrs. T's pierogies. So we called him up here, and he said, sure, Joe, I'll do it. Oh, wait, that was my girl voice. He said, sure, Joe, I'll come right up and do this. And we sat down. We had a great conversation. An hour, 45 minutes, an hour, 10. What's too short for you? What's too long? It's just right is what it is. Sit down. Have a drink. Get on your bike. Well, not while you're drinking. Have a workout. Go for a walk with the dog. Put the earplugs in, Bluetooth, and listen to a conversation with the great Tom Twardzik. Here we go, baby.
Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything. Mr. Curiosity.
Oh, my goodness. This is it. This is the moment. Across from me is the pierogi. The pierogi.
The crowd goes wild.
Tom Twardzik has arrived. I mean, this is it.
This is it. Inaugural flight.
This is it. This is
like Orville and Wilbur.
It really is. And already I like this. It feels natural for me. So it's a good sign. Now, before I kind of begin, I want to let you know this. And this is the only part of this whole interview I thought of. My wife always tells me, and this is probably how Mr. Curiosity even evolved. She said, Joe, you talk too much.
Oh,
you ask too many questions. You wonder too many things. It's always been my problem since childhood. She said, you're too nosy. You're too question-oriented. So if I ask you things, and she also says I have no proper filter.
Oh, that's
so
good, too.
You have permission to say, shut up, Joe, at any time, and I will cower down like a little child.
Well, I've heard that the person being interviewed actually has control over the interview because I could just simply choose not to answer the question. I don't even have to say shut
up. That's true, but that's not my style. I'm not a control guy. So we're just going to wing this thing. We're going to talk. We're going to chat. And I want everyone to know that do I know Tom Twardzik? Yes. I know him from 15, maybe 18 years of bike ride sponsorships. Mm-hmm. But our relationship literally is like once a year for 2 hours.
Three-minute bursts.
Yeah, in three-minute bursts. So I really don't know this guy other than that he's the coolest guy I know. He's not pretentious because I think he should be being the pierogi empire lord.
I should be pretentious.
You should be. Most people
I'll have to work
are,
on
I think,
that.
With your power and money and prestige, usually pretentiousness sneaks in, but not you.
Oh, there's so much misconception out there. Money, power, prestige.
It's all there. And I want to
simple,
say
simple, humble pierogi makers.
So here's where we begin, where I'd like to begin. I have Slovakian ancestors.
Okay.
And pierogies were a huge part of my entire life.
With an H. Pierogi?
Let's start right there.
Okay.
How do you spell this, and how did you determine which way to spell it?
My dad attempted to anglicize the spelling of pierogi, so that's why ours is P-I-E-R-O-G-I-E-S. It is not technically correct. We have had scores of letters from customers over the years, some offering to share how to spell it properly with us for free, others for a modest charge.
I get those emails too. Snap, you're spelling it wrong in your weather maps. Mm-hmm. But is there a correct spelling? That's what I need to know.
The ones that I've seen are P-I-R-O-G-I, P-E-R-O-G-I. Usually I is at the end, not Y or I-E-S as plural. My dad attempted and thought by anglicizing the spelling it would be easier to pronounce. I don't really think we accomplished that.
And my grandmother used to always...
There's a roll.
You roll at the end, right.
Pirogi, yeah, pirogi. Well, Slavic, I think I've seen with the H, P-I-R-O-H-I.
But it's definitely one of those words because I have tried to research this and look it up years ago, and there's no correct spelling. It all depends on what background you want to ooze into in terms of its history.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, between the Ukrainians, the Slovaks, the Polish... the Jewish pirogin. I don't want to get into why I had to be looking at two different dictionaries at one time in the office because we had this really old dictionary and I looked at it and it didn't have the word pierogies in it. That's I guess how old it is. I don't know. The word is old. And so then we had purchased a new dictionary and. I go right to the P's and look for pierogies, and pierogies is in the dictionary.
It is.
And it was spelled our way.
Whoa! Win! Said,
well, we may not have put Shenandoah on the map, but we've put pierogies in the Webster dictionary.
Yeah.
I was pretty excited about that.
Well, is it spell corrected on like an iPhone, I wonder? I don't know. I think I put it in there and it always...
Yes, I'll be changed from a Y to an I at the end.
But
it'll accept the P-I-E-R.
Woo! All right.
I got Y on my license plate when I was in school in California only because somebody already had it spelled with an I.
California school, big shot. See, this is what we have to get into. So let's start at the beginning. I'm going way back.
Okay.
You look like a guy my age. I don't know. I don't know if you want to even...
You're younger.
I don't know if you want to give that information out. I'm 53, so maybe we can relate on some level.
I am older than
just
you.
Just a little. A
couple of years, yep.
Okay, so here's the deal. Let's go way back... you knew this was going to happen. I have no idea how this started. You have to give us that. You probably told the story a gazillion times. Where does Mrs. T's come from? Is there a grandmother?
Sure.
Is there a grandfather who's making these things? Who makes the big move? Mm-hmm. Here we go.
So Mary Twardzik is my grandmother, my father's mother. And she used to work with the Unia Polek group of ladies that would make pierogies for the church as a fundraiser. And... my dad, as a kid growing up, knew and ate pierogies through all those experiences.
Yeah.
And his market research was there be lines for pierogies at the church picnics. And he said, there could be a business in this. But what he had done is I think he had started school. I'm a little fuzzy on this, but he had started school, but then went into the Army. So he served in the Army.
So give us a year now. Where are we at?
This was 1940.
40-something.
5 or 6.
That's good enough.
I have to remember not to tap on the table because that'll affect the microphone.
It's the 1940s.
Yes.
Every church in northeastern central Pennsylvania, they all have their pierogi people.
Yes, just like Wilkes-Barre.
There's all these, ethnic diversities. All the ladies have pierogies. They brought it from the old world.
Mm-hmm.
But so he has a mom who's making pierogies like all the other church ladies.
Yep.
And then he gets called...
He goes to serve. He does a year and a half in the Army in a program that they had and then went to college on the GI Bill.
He's 18, 19, 20, whatever.
Yes. Let me get my numbers right.
Who cares? Somewhere in there. I mean, I care, but I don't care.
Let them create a Google page for him, page for him. So he goes to school and he went to the University of Notre Dame.
Whoa.
Now, his brother Lou had already been at Notre Dame and said, Ted, they're looking for people and come to Notre Dame. This was right after the war. Notre Dame has a very close tie with Navy. So my dad gets into Notre Dame on the GI Bill, and he gets a degree in accounting. So after graduation in 1951, he came and got a job at Arthur Andersen. Now, back in the day, that was one of the Big Eight accounting firms, very prestigious. And he got a job in accounting and auditing and was working at Hershey as an auditor. About a year.
But he grew up in Schuylkill County.
Grew up in Shenandoah, sure.
Grew up in Shenandoah, Shenandoah guy. his mother, you know, gets the pierogi people with all the other pierogi ladies. They're
his dad
the
was
church.
A bar tavern owner.
Ooh, this is so the plot is thickening. He goes off, gets the GI Bill, gets an education, comes back, gets a job.
Mm-hmm.
The pierogi thing is not like paramount. It's just another. It's just it's like you or I. It's oh no, well not you, but me. Oh yeah, there's old ladies making pierogies. Who cares? They're tasty, but I'm moving on with life.
I don't know if that's 100% accurate because he spent about a year. I don't know how long the idea of trying to get into the pierogi business was percolating. But he had written to – I found the letter. And he actually, a draft of the letter he wrote to his supervisors at Arthur Anderson saying that he was going to leave. And he said, I'm going to leave. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not like one of those young bucks because it was very common for somebody to get experience at a firm like Arthur Anderson.
Yes.
And then, boom, move on into being hired and working at another firm.
So he's a year or two in now?
He's a year in only.
That's a year in, mm-hmm. single guy, mm-hmm. living outside
in New York. He was working out of New York.
Oh, so he was in the big city. There he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, the it was a New York hotel stationery that he had drafted his resignation letter on.
Really?
So he said, I'm not one of those people that have just used you to move on to another thing. I have no job and I have no prospects.
I love it. So you don't know. You're not glorifying the story. You don't know if he had another plan. You don't know if pierogies were on his mind. He was just, or you don't know.
No, I think it was August, September-ish that year. Then I can find some more notes that he was making pierogies and selling pierogies in December that year.
No, mm-hmm. August, the letter. Then later that August, fall, winter, he's already...
He's making pierogies. He had
must have
sales
had
of 80 packages type of thing.
Well, that's quite a jump. You're already jumping. So now he comes back to Shenandoah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he came back to Shenandoah.
And he starts selling pierogies. This is his. Does he move in with mom and dad?
Yep.
He does.
Yeah.
Single guy.
Yes.
No,
well, his father had passed by then.
Okay.
Yeah, my grandfather.
So he's living with his mom.
No, 55. Let me get my dates right now.
No, that's still all making sense. Yeah. I mean, we're somewhere in the 40s.
His father was still around for, I think it was 3 more years. Because it was 1952 when he started this. And Grandfather Frank passed in 55. Sorry about that.
Well, I think most people could relate. I went to college. You went to college. You mm-hmm. come back. You live at home for a while. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're going to do. Yeah, I did. And you're starting to formulate your plans. You're meeting a special lady. You're planning your life. So he's home.
He's home.
He starts selling pierogies.
And
I wonder what he's doing. Like
bum.
He was a bum.
He was a bum. That's the story he tells. Well, I came home after a degree from Notre Dame, and I have a great job at a prestigious accounting firm, and I came home to make pierogies? Because everybody's making pierogies. Who needs? There's no market for pierogies in a store. Who's doing that?
These stories make me seem like a riskless loser, because I'm the guy who took the safe road, and maybe you are. Or
oh my gosh! Yeah.
Everyone has that dream. I'm going to do that. I'm going to quit the job. I'm going to and they don't do it.
I very quickly correct anyone that talks to me and calls me an entrepreneur, because I am not an entrepreneur. I came into an established business.
Oh man, you're a big man to say that.
I didn't start anything. My dad was 25 when he started the business. He quit his job and started a business. I remember who I was and what I was doing when I was 25, and I was not going to quit a job and start a business.
It's so hard to not take the safe route. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have steady income. I have health insurance.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
For a person to drop everything, here he has a 4-year degree. He's in the city. He's got an accounting position. That's
America. You have the freedom to succeed and the freedom to fail.
The trouble with these stories, even though I know it's going to go good. You hear about the successes like this, but for every one guy like your dad, there's 10,000 others who did the same thing and it didn't work out.
Yeah,
and then all right, so we're in the 50s. He's home. He's got a mom and dad. He's selling pierogies to who? Local bars, local restaurants?
Yeah, his first customer was the Capital Food Store.
Yeah, but is he like pressing these things? Like, how do you commandeer the church ladies to make the pierogies? Or is it just, I wonder how that went.
He did them himself, of course, for the first few days or weeks. But he did eventually hire some ladies.
There's that
some
next
girls.
Move.
Yeah, he hired people. We have a great picture I'm not sure where, if it's on the website and stuff, but it's been public, of course, for a long time because it was the original chefs around the table. And one of them was his sister, my Aunt Eleanor, and then there were four other ladies around the table, one of which ultimately became my mother-in-law.
Whoa. All right. So the plot thickens.
Yes.
All right. So he's making pierogies. It's the 50s, maybe a couple bucks here. Now the next step. If I follow the graph of Mrs. T's progress, doesn't have a name yet, right?
We were a Tico, but not incorporated. As a sole proprietorship for the first 5 years, we were just a Tico. And the name of the product was Mrs. T's.
Oh, it was. So originally he said... let's go with this.
I heard my dad tell a story because I didn't know it at the time. I found a lot of stories out of my dad talking to other people who do the same thing as you're doing right now. It's like, tell me more. And he said, I was trying to figure out what I would call them. What would be my brand name?
Yeah.
And will they be Mrs. T's or will they be Mr. T's?
Yes.
And as he's mulling it over and discussing this at the family dinner table, he said, I took one look in my mother's eyes and I knew it had better be Mrs. T's.
Oh, man.
So his decision was made for him.
Plus, that's a wise marketing decision because, you know, I hate to say sexism here, but when you picture a woman making something to eat versus a guy, at least back then,
sure,
it has a little bit more hominess to it, like mom and grandma's cooking.
There's so, Betty Crocker for a reason, not
Betty
Joe Crocker.
Yeah. G.I. Joe cookies. That just doesn't work.
I would have done that.
Yeah. All right. So here we are. We're selling pierogies. But this graph I speak of, the spread, the profit, the potential, is it abrupt or is it slow and steady?
It's slow and steady. People will see a company from 1952 to 2019, and it'll, of course, if you're lucky, you'll start with nothing, and you'll end up someplace better and more. But it's never a straight line.
Okay.
It's the ups and downs and the undulations. It's like your airstream or airflow.
I love how he's working in meteorology. All right, so it's the 50s, and we're selling pierogies.
We're moving dozens at a time. He's testing with the Capital Food Store, and the guy that owned and ran the store said, Ted, enough with the testing. Give me stuff to sell. So we started to sell dozens at a time.
But I have to stop you right there. What is that? I don't know what that is. The Capital Food Store.
The Capital Food Store was our first customer in Shenandoah.
But what is that, a local market?
A little deli.
That's a little deli.
Mm-hmm. But there is still a Capital Food Store in town.
But that's just in Schuylkill County.
Shenandoah. It's a one-off. Yeah.
One-off. Okay. Yep. I thought maybe it was like an AMP. That
no,
I never heard.
No.
Okay.
Chains. No.
So it's just one.
Took a long time.
Oh, okay. So it's one place.
One store at a time. And he would go and try to convince him to try the pierogies. He would do a lot of samplings. And my dad's an operations guy. He is not one for the limelight. He'd rather be the helper and stay in the background. But to start your business and get people to try pierogies, he would have to go out to the stores and do demonstrations. And he'd say, after the end of the day, my face would hurt from smiling.
No.
And being nice to people.
Like
to
fake.
To get them.
Not fake, but you know, hey, come on. That's what I'm.
Forced.
So he's the guy, he had pierogi dough in his fingernails.
Sure.
He's making them, he's pushing them, he's selling them.
Yep.
This
my
is
mom,
excellent.
That was part of their courtship. She would help.
Boy, that's my next question. Where does the woman come in?
Jean Roberts, that's my mom.
This is how far in. Is he still living at home, meet some lady?
He's still at home. As a matter of fact, when they got married, I know my grandfather's passing as well. So they waited a year. So they were courting while the pierogi business was trying to get established. And my mom would tell stories that, yes, I'd go and we'd have coffee and a donut or something. And my job was I would watch some of the machinery. And if any of the grease would come out of the bearing, so I'd have to – my job was to, quote, unquote, wipe the peanut butter. It wasn't peanut butter.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Food-grade grease coming. And so she'd wipe that and make sure everything is – kept clean and running. So that was one of her jobs during her courtship. So they dated for a number of years.
And she's a local Shenandoah girl?
Yep. Also from Shenandoah. And
is she, so here's your mom and dad in the making.
Yeah. They got engaged. When my dad's father passed away, they waited a year to get married out of respect. And so they got married in 1956.
So now they're married.
And my mom moved into the house at 218
that
North Main Street.
That was my next question. So she moves into the house.
Where the business started.
Where this all started.
But my dad was kicked out of the house by then. I think he lasted less than a year, probably 6 months, where they were working in the house. And then whoever was renting my grandfather's bar down on East Center Street left. Their lease expired, or they left the bar, and my grandmother said, okay, that's enough of making a mess in my kitchen. Go down to the bar, and you can run your business there.
But he's still living at home, but he's doing business down there. Oh, that's pretty cool. So now we have a married couple.
Yep.
She doesn't do anything for a living, or she's...
My mom?
No, yeah, back then.
When they were dating, she was working. She brags that she'd never applied for a job, ever. She was recommended by one person, and then somebody else would recommend her to another place. So she'd have three or four jobs just by being asked to come work for them. And when they got married, she came home on her first anniversary with my oldest brother, Ted.
Whoa!
And so now she didn't work after...
This
she
is
had
great.
Us children.
So now we're making humans the next step. This is big. I didn't want to get there yet. So it's the 50s. They're ending. It's now the 60s, maybe.
Ted is, yeah.
We're
no, late 50s, yeah.
We're making, I don't know what kind of money. Is it just, he's doing all right. He's got a new car. He's got a 57 Chevy. What does he have?
Oh, boy.
How would you know that, right?
I don't know. I know there's a Thunderbird sometime in the 60s that my mom used to drive. And my dad would say she was a real Leadfoot. 400 horsepower engine, and his T-Bird would fly.
I guess, Tom, I'm just wondering when that small. Moment is where things like, hey, I'm doing pretty good.
My dad told stories that he would go meet up with friends from college, and they had taken that path of careers, and they were making good money.
Safeway.
And they would talk about what he was doing and how very small scale it was. And he would brag because they were all smart businessmen. And as they probed the questions about what's this business doing, what are you selling, what are your costs, what's your profit, he was proud because they realized, oh, he's doing pretty good.
Oh, yeah?
And there's some money to be made in running the business as frugally and efficiently as he did. He was eking out a living.
I'm wondering if the money's coming in, he's doing okay, let's start having children. Here comes Tom. Comes Tim.
No. It's too early. I mean, if he starts the business in 52 and they get married in 56 and Ted's 57, born in 57, no. He was a bum the first 5 years. He worked. They thought he was crazy for coming back home to Shenandoah to make pierogi. the next 10 years, he worked his tail off. It reminds me of a story.
Uh-oh.
So my mom, he's working hard, working very, very hard. And people would comment that he's kind of nuts. Why? He's working too hard. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
And 15 years in, you can see a level of success and say, boy, isn't he lucky? Yeah, he's a bum and stupid, and he works too hard. But then all of a sudden, he's lucky.
Tim
and I were working together in the business, and we were complaining about working hard. We were busy. We were doing a lot of stuff, and we were putting a lot of hours in, and we were working hard. So we thought, and we mentioned that at the dinner table. My dad wasn't in the house at the moment, and my mom. We just said to my mom how we were working so hard, and she, don't tell me how hard you work. When you spend 20 hours a day pinching and mixing and folding, and then you have to pack it and sell it and transport. I said,
We
never, ever said how hard we worked in front of my mother again.
Oh, man. I love it. See, that's why you're a good guy, this hard working and spoon in the mouth of goldness kind of guy. We'll get to that later. I'm still a little confused, though. So your mom's helped making the pierogies, two, maybe a couple employees.
Five people working.
It's now closing in the 60s.
Sure.
But it's still kind of localized.
Very small. Wilkes-Barre Scranton is our backyard. That is home. We are working with the James O'Brown Company here in Pittston, and he was our broker.
Well, what do you mean now? You're leaving that area in terms of pierogi sales? When did that happen? Is it about that time? Somewhere in the early 60s, mid-60s? That's what I'm wondering.
No, it's earlier than that.
Oh, it's earlier than that.
Yeah,
you're starting...
As I said, my dad was an operations guy. So after he was very local, he was looking to try to sell more. And really, it was so he could make more because he liked making things. He liked making the pierogies. He liked perfecting that. And he hooked up with James O'Brown, and he became our master broker. They actually created a partnership together, Greatest Foods Incorporated. So Atico, for 30 years, had one customer. We sold everything to Greatest Foods, and James O'Brown And his company, as a broker, became the sales men and sales force. And then he would assign more brokers. So, as a matter of fact, tomorrow I'm going to spend some time with the folks over at Douglas Sales. They handle the Metro New York market for us. They're our second oldest business relationship. They've been with us over 60 years. So James appointed them either late 50s or very early 60s.
But it is accurate to say then there was this central location, of course, in Shenandoah, and then another one in the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton area.
That's our
and maybe not so much in between.
Right.
Wow. That's why I consider you such a celebrity then, because since I was born, Mrs. T's pierogies were always a part of my life.
Yeah.
60s, 70s, 80s.
Absolutely.
So this was a targeted area. And probably not by mistake, and I hope I'm not insulting to your people. I grew up just outside of Carbondale, and I'm told that the entire coal and train transport of it, economy started to crunch and leave and dissolve away in the 50s.
Sure.
So that's when the economic downturn kind of begins. Mm-hmm. And the same thing in your area, correct?
Same thing. So that decline hit our area. Women were in the workforce through the war efforts. I mean, you're talking about parts of the evolution of the country and our society happening while we're out there trying to make pierogies.
Yes.
You're growing up as a kid.
Yeah.
So we had garments and tobacco. We had cigar factories. So the labor, when it was so intensely laborious in the coal mines, when that started to decline, there were people working, and the garment industry and that tobacco sector took over.
Yeah, we had the garment industry here too.
Now, tobacco left our area before the garments, and that started to decline and went away with NAFTA. So we used to have, I think Shenandoah had 5 or 6 garment factories.
Yep.
So my mother-in-law, who worked for my dad, ended up leaving, and she was working in the garment trade.
So all this is on decline. Coal is leaving. People are kind of losing their job. It's the 60s, a little bit of an economic downturn. Mm-hmm. Your area, my area, but pierogies are blossoming.
Yes. God bless us.
So they're in the Scranton, Wilkes-Barre area thanks to this marketing guy. Mm-hmm. Who's he again?
James O. Brown.
Is this guy like he has the slicked hair? He's got the quick talk. He's got the gold watches.
He might have had the gold watch. I'm trying to I wouldn't portray him as a madman type of slickster here.
But he's a part of the success. He's let's get him into the Scranton area.
My father
right?
would claim, because you can see a lot of people talk about partnerships and that they're always doomed. And my dad is also a proponent of that. But he said, ours was the only partnership that worked. It was a blessing. He loved James. And he was fabulous for our business.
What about Lennon and McCartney? That worked.
Yes, for a while.
So did James.
Not 30 years
not
like
30
us.
Years. I was just going to say, James was there for what? Is he still alive?
He retired. No, James passed away. His son took over the business.
Oh,
and
really?
Then even the third, James O. Brown III, was involved. But by then, they had there was a lot of change in the sales force industry, the brokerage industry. So there's a lot of consolidation. So James O. Brown merged with somebody who merged with somebody. And so then they became pretty much focused on the distribution only.
So now it's the 60s. You and your family, your siblings are born.
I'm finally alive now, so I actually know something.
That's what I'm wondering. You're alive. Are the pierogies still limited to like the northeastern part? Well, not even. Are they still just in Pennsylvania, Shenandoah area, 60s? And Wilkes-Barre-Scranton?
Yeah, I think we started to grow with New York. But Wilkes-Barre-Scranton, New York, because we had Douglas Sales, but we also hooked up with another broker out in Pittsburgh. And
Now we're expanding west to Pittsburgh. This is still 60s. And so when is that moment? There's not a moment. I know.
No,
when has it become? I don't know. If I'm in Pittsburgh, if I'm in Albany, New York, and there's pierogies in the supermarket, they're all over the place. Mrs. T's. When is that? Is that 70s?
It just if you limit it to Pennsylvania, then I would think it would be nicely established in the 60s.
In the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty well-known thing.
Yeah.
Mrs. T's.
Yeah, I think so. It's still very fairly localized.
Do you, when you're born, do your parents, once your mom and dad start making money, they build a big new house. Here comes the siblings. Oh, they each get their own room. We have five bathrooms.
We were just talking about that. No, couldn't be further from the truth. So my mom moved in to the house with my grandmother. So my mom and dad get married, and they're living in the house on 218 North Main Street with Bobby.
Pierogies are being made at the bar.
Yes, and pierogies are being made at the bar. Has Teddy, has Timmy, has Tommy. We're in the 60s.
Three boys, there you are.
That's it, three boys. And they never moved out.
They never moved out?
No. Lived in Shenandoah at 218 North Main Street all these years.
Your mom and dad. Yep. Walking around with $100 bills falling out of their pocket.
No.
Globally sold.
My mom would get $60 a week to run the household and have money left over. So. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm elaborating a little bit. But come on, there's got to be a point. I'm making stuff up, folks. But there's got to be a point where you're like, you felt it. You're in kindergarten. You're in third grade. You're in seventh grade. And you're like, I'm the T in Mrs. T's pierogies.
I'm oblivious. I don't know how Ted and Tim were. I am oblivious.
I don't believe it.
Okay. But till I'm working there, I don't realize the size and scope and responsibility.
Now, when you say working there, where is it now? When did it leave the bar? When did it leave the bar? When did that
happen? Oh, we're still in the bar. The bar is just gone. The bar actually is a part of the office.
Oh, I didn't know that. Your beautiful facility, which I visited years ago, that was grown off of the bar.
Sure.
Get out of here. Yeah.
So our lobby was created in 1989. Before that, it was the street. And on the one side of the street was the bar. And next to it was, I thought there was a music store. My uncle's music store. But that's where he went down to and worked in the bar. The production went from the center street back, and we were working on multiple floors. So there might have been warehousing on a higher floor. I know there were roller conveyors that we as kids would ride on cardboard, and that was our makeshift roller coasters. We grew at the bar. Then the next big step for bigger production was we bought a building across the street. There was an old service station, and my dad was able to buy that. And that's when they moved across the street.
So now, could we fast forward? You're in high school. You're thinking, I need a career. I'm going to take over the pierogies.
No.
What's happening?
I am in high school, enjoying the high school experience and getting ready to go to college. My brothers had both gone to Notre Dame. So
does your dad kind of say, let's do this? Is he an influential, let's go to Notre Dame kind of guy? I went there. You're going there.
Everybody said that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So your uncle went there. Your father went there. Your brothers are there. So you're going to go to Notre Dame. I'm going to have to go to Notre Dame. I didn't. They didn't want me. So once I got the, I was waitlisted at Notre Dame.
Oh, really?
Then I had to go look for a college. So I was so brainwashed that I'm supposed to go to Notre Dame that I had nothing prepared or planned. So I go back up to the shoot box that's in my room, and I start going through the letters and flyers that have been sent from a variety of colleges because there is no internet.
Right.
You found out about colleges by reading about them, or you knew their football teams played, or basketball, or you got letters introducing you to the school because they heard about you through the SATs, I guess.
For the young people listening, they have to hear that, because I would go down to the guidance and I'd look at catalogs.
Ah, yes.
And no one was like, oh, I wonder what the food's like there. I wonder what the dorm is like. They're so pampered now. Parents like me who go to look and see the facilities.
It's an arms race. The schools do it. How much more money can I pour into these things?
I know,
to attract
the kids. More.
Yep.
It was like going to war back in the 70s and 80s when you went to college. It's like, oh, yeah, that's where I'm going. Who cares what it looks like? Cinder block walls, bunkers. Yeah.
Oh, well, with Tim and Ted were there at Notre Dame. My mom still says, well, you never wanted to go to Notre Dame. It really wasn't a matter of wanting to or not. It was like preordained, and because I'd heard all the stories about the Notre Dame winters, dorms.
Yeah.
Oh, my mom was horrified. The first year Timmy went, he was in a different dorm than Ted, and they were in the basement ducking below steam pipes and stuff. She was so offended, she wanted to pull him out.
That's what makes good people, I'm telling you.
Yeah. So, I mean, it certainly bonds the guys that are living in those conditions together.
So where'd you go?
I got a call from the University of San Diego.
Really?
Yep.
I'm embarrassed I've known you this long. I never even knew that.
Yeah. They sent information to me, called the house, wanted to know if I knew about the school and things. One of the things my mom and dad, besides the Notre Dame bit, had was we would not be allowed to be close to home for school.
They had that rule.
Yeah. They did not want it to. They did not want us to be able to come back for the weekends and allow college to be a continuation of high school.
And now parents would probably be laughed at for that type of belief. Cold, insensitive. But these were different times.
No, they weren't cold and insensitive.
I know. It's just funny.
I got the lesson that they were trying to teach.
Yeah, you got to break free, grow your wings, fly off. So
there was no interpretation that I was going to go to California for school. That was wacky.
So what do you do?
I went to – it was a beautiful school. It was a small private Catholic school, so it had a lot of things that were similar to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I met somebody on the Board of Trustees once, and they said, well, we want to be the Notre Dame of the West. Okay. Then my theory was I'd run into a lot of people, and we all had Notre Dame clothes on.
Yeah.
And they said, did you apply to Notre Dame? Yeah. Did you get accepted? No.
Oh, so that was like the
and I said, I wonder if they just sent the wait list to the school and say, call these people. I
have
no
idea.
That's
like the spinoff.
Yeah. So I was fortunate to go out there. It was a great school and a great opportunity. My mom and dad, when they moved me in and stuff, and we toured the school and checked it out. But my mom said, we will never let Tim visit you. Not until he graduates.
Why?
Because when he sees this place, he's going to bail on Notre Dame and come out here.
It was that much nicer.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's
really?
San Diego.
Yeah. Yeah, the weather. But so this was
school was beautiful. I'd never even seen landscaping like that. It was amazing.
Is that right?
You don't grow plants like that in coal.
Well, you know why? Because they knew you were towards it. They knew you were Mrs. T's empire.
I don't think so.
The child.
Notre Dame should have wanted me then.
Well, they didn't have to, maybe. I don't know.
You're there? They had enough of us.
Yeah, they had enough of you. So you're there. You did it. 2, 3, 4 years.
4 years. Got out in 4 years. Big mistake. I should have stayed 5.
And what's the degree?
Psychology.
Get out of here.
Business minor. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep.
That's why you're always trying to figure me out.
That's right. I'm peering close into your eyes.
What do I have? Issues, you think?
We all have issues.
Yes, we do, baby. All right. So then
some of us wear them a little more openly than others. That's
so you come back home, and then what are you doing? Or you don't come back home.
I was coming home.
Here he is, 22 years old. The pierogi empire is established. You can get pierogies in the Midwest. You can get pierogies.
You can get pierogies in California.
You can get your pierogies were being sold in San Diego when you were there.
Yes. I was a campus rep. Timmy was a campus rep.
1982.
I graduated in 83, so 79 to 83.
You're seeing your name in supermarkets around the college in California. I did not know that.
Absolutely.
That's huge.
I would
That's
go out to the stores. I'd have coupons, and I would try to encourage people and give them coupons for pierogies.
Now, you had to use that to pick up chicks back then.
Well,
like you take them to the supermarket, and you say, this is my family.
So I go, and I am dressed up, suit and tie. I don't know how to do this. I'm going to make a nice impression. And I've got a coupon for a free box of Mrs. T's pierogies. I'm going up and down the aisle of people in the frozen food aisle, and I have no takers. Nobody wants them. Nobody wants me to come near them. It was really depressing. It was.
Yeah, but what do you mean? They weren't selling well there? They were there?
I was.
But you, I know you were doing.
Trying to give them a coupon. No, I don't know. I think
you were just.
That
was your pitch. That was your weird pitch.
I think it was my pitch. I think it was my look and my dress, because then I said it was really tough and I felt bad. So then I dusted myself off a couple of weeks later. I said, I'm going to do this again. But I just had my Mrs. T's T-shirt on. It was like, I can remember it. It was a yellow sleeve baseball T-shirt type thing. And it had, I deserve the best, Mrs. T's pierogies. And I had my jeans and I went to the store with coupons.
But I don't understand.
I gave them all away.
But why are you doing this? I don't understand. Just
because I'm trying to introduce people to pierogies.
But they're already in the stores.
Yeah, but they're on a shelf. Doesn't help. You got to get them to take them home and try them over and over and over again. You can get anything on a shelf. It's how do you get them to buy them once they're on the shelf? You can get anybody to buy something. These are wisdoms from my dad. You can get anybody to buy something once. But can you get them to buy it over and over? Are they going to keep coming back?
So you're in college now doing this?
And pierogies are not known out in West Coast.
I was going to say, I'm getting to that. I can't wait to hear this. So you're in college doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think your parents behind your back were like, yeah, he's in psychology in California. He'll find out the hard way. Like, are they doing that, or I wonder?
Probably a little bit. That I didn't go to Notre Dame was always a disappointment. So, what's he doing in California? And is he getting?
I respect the fact that you didn't go to Notre Dame because you bucked the system. You're nonconformist. You did your own thing.
The system bucked me.
No, you did your own thing. You broke out. You plowed forward. You blazed your own trail.
All right, got to so do something.
So I guess
I could have waited. I mean, there was a lot of conversation about, well, apply to a different school, spend the first year, and then transfer back into Notre Dame. And I didn't want to do that. That didn't feel right to me.
All right, so you come back, and then what happens? Or not come back, but what?
I graduate.
2, 3, 4
and
years.
And now I face what's going to happen. Now my brother Tim had graduated 2 years before, and he has joined the company.
He has joined the company.
Yeah, so he's already
the oldest
working.
Brother. No, it's middle.
Yep. He's working for the company, and he is doing sales and marketing. He went to school and had a degree in marketing.
Oh.
Ted, our oldest, graduated from Notre Dame, and he pursued his master's degree from the University of South Carolina. So I get out. I'm graduated from college. He graduates from the master's program. My dad invites us both to come back to the business. And I thought, because it was never really predestined. My dad did a good job in not...
That's what I'm wondering.
Making us feel like we had to, or it's expected, or forcing us to come back to the business. If we wanted to, he would welcome us back.
Yeah, but deep down inside, are you thinking I always have this safety blanket if I fall?
Yes. Sad to say.
The honesty of you saying that.
Yeah, sad to say.
You fail, so what? I'll just go back. And
well, I'd watch my brothers graduate and decide on what to do about work.
Yeah.
And then other people before me, because, again, depending on your stage, what you are aware of changes. So Ted graduates his undergraduate degree and goes right into a master's program. Okay. That tells me one path. Tim graduates, comes back to work at the business. That shows me there is another path.
Yeah.
Because I'm still in school for a couple more years.
Yeah.
So there's a path. So that gets into my consciousness. Friends in the classes between my brother and I, they graduate from school. They go and try to they get jobs. So I see how their paths are going.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I've graduated and my dad offers me the opportunity, the thought process through my head was, well, I have a girlfriend in Shenandoah. That's home. Where all my friends are there.
Yeah.
And there's a job lined up for me.
Yeah.
I can work for my dad. Sad to say, I'll admit, as I'm honest, the thought runs through my mind, is there a chance to skip a couple of rungs on the corporate ladder someday?
Oh, the honesty pouring out. I love it.
So I went back to work for Mrs. T's, and my brother Ted and I are in there, and we actually are not doing anything. And
you're getting a check, but really you're just like figureheads walking around.
We're not even walking around. And we were not encouraged as little kids to be around because my dad did not want us messing up with people who actually know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
So
here comes the owner's kids.
Yes. So my dad respected everybody that decided to come to work with him that you don't want that. So I'm Ted and I are trying to figure out what to do. The good news in that is that I was honestly bored.
You're how old? You're 25,
like
maybe?
No,
four?
I'm 21.
You're just out of college. Okay.
Out of college, 20. So I realized genuinely and honestly that I must have some kind of work ethic because I don't like this, not doing anything. So we're talking to my dad and said, what can we do? My brother Ted then decides he is not going to stay in the business. He's going to go and enlist in the Air Force. Because he wants to see the world. So he leaves, and I'm trying to figure out what to do and what can I do. So my dad said, you're right, let's go. And he put me in the plant. So I work production.
So what do you mean? You're just like any other worker there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You like to think that, and
right,
you're not. I mean, my dad's peers and that work with him would always say things. And,
but you're not like in a managerial role.
No, I'm working. I have the first shift. I'm working. I'd swing shift, actually. So we were first shift and day shift, and we swung about every week. So I would work first shift, and then the next week I would work second shift. And I started in production, and I was learning how to make the filling and make the dough. One of the guys that drives truck for us, he said, don't ever forget, because he still works for us, he says, don't forget, I taught you how to make dough. I said,
right?
I know. See, Gary and it. Harry keeps reminding everybody that he taught me how to make filling because he's still with us. And so I learned how to make filling. I learned how to make dough. I learned how to run the packaging machines. My dad then wanted me to start to learn how to do some purchasing.
Uh-oh. So, he's purchaser.
Yes. So he had a couple of people that would do buying. and he wanted to get that consolidated, and he wanted me to do that and take those things off of the head of operations or treasurer. So I worked my shift to production, and then the next couple hours that were left over, I would go into the office and start to learn how to purchase.
That's a nice way to ease into it. How long were you like a production guy? A year, 2 years?
Yeah, probably a year.
And do you remember hating that or not?
No. No, I liked it.
Repetitive, just blah, blah, blah.
I liked it. Head down, get the work done.
You meet a special lady. You're thinking about marriage. Are we there yet or no?
No.
No. You're living at home. You're making money.
I'm living at home. I have my girlfriend. She still had college. I'm working in production.
Some of your peers are probably, look at the California guy. He's back home making pierogies.
No, I don't know that. Maybe they did. It's like, hey, how's it going? I don't know. What are you doing tonight? Okay, Friday, let's go out.
Yeah.
They were my friends.
No, I know. I'm just...
And I did this work. I liked it. I knew it was important. The people that were in the plant were super nice, very conscientious. That's to this day still conscientious. So I learned that. I mean, I learned that these people, they knew their stuff, and they cared, and they applied themselves every day. So it's not about the repetitiveness.
Right.
It takes all kinds, and it takes a certain person that is going to be able to come in and do a consistently diligent quality job.
I love it, and you are correct with that. And it's hard for me to realize it from that angle since I'm so hyperactive and ADD.
Yeah, you might not cut it at our place for that reason.
I have a lot of issues. You know that with your background.
Yeah, but there's virtue to that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's interesting. So now could you fast forward? I don't want to get too bogged down. I want to get to some questions, but this is great. Not that
that's
you're
right.
going
to. Sean gets to edit.
No, that's right. No, this is great. No, I'm the guy bogging it down, I guess. So now years later, you then work up. You're a purchaser. Now you're starting to make decisions. Mm-hmm. And your dad's in it and your mom until...
My mom's not working in the business now.
She never was.
No. I mean, that was...
She's a stay-at-home mom when you were growing up.
Stay-at-home mom, absolutely.
And your dad's in it until the end.
Yep.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, my dad retired from all positions. Board, profit sharing, trust, in 1992.
Oh, okay.
40-year run.
That's excellent.
Founding to 1992.
Now, I remember on one of my bike rides 15, 16, 17 years ago when I stopped at, it's a vague memory, I think it was Tim, your brother's house. And he let me ride in his Honda convertible at the time. He let me take it for a ride. Yeah. So
I'm trying to remember now, how long is he living in Frackville? Is that where
I think it was Frackville.
Okay,
and I think he was your position. Did you guys reverse or what happened there?
Tim was always sales and marketing.
Oh, okay.
My dad saw the two of us working together like Murray and Marvin Lender. Now, they were Lender's Bagels. And Murray was famous in the industry for popularizing bagels. He was Mr. Outside. Marvin, his brother, was Mr. Inside, his operations.
All right.
So nobody knew Marvin. Everybody knew Murray.
Oh, I see. Right,
nobody
right.
knows me. Everybody knew Tim.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Tim's Mr. Outside, and he was marketing, sales, and promotions.
Gotcha. Yeah. And is he still that role, or am I getting too nosy?
No, Tim retired.
He retired.
Tim has successfully retired. My brother Ted has successfully retired.
Dun, dun.
So clearly,
dun, dun.
The two Notre
dun,
Dame
dun.
Graduates have
dun,
retired,
dun.
And I'm still working.
Dun, 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 dun. I see retirement. It's over there on your horizon.
It is.
There it is.
I feel it breathing down my neck.
No, you're a young man, and you have plenty left. So a couple questions I'll get to. The people have written me in, and they're ready to go here. But I'm wondering a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, where can you find Mrs. T's pierogies?
All 50 states.
All 50 states.
You can find them in Hawaii. You can find them in Alaska. You won't find the breadth of our line in those far-flung places, but you'll find a couple of varieties.
Out of country.
We, God bless us, have been successful selling through the commissaries, the military. So we've had veterans tell us that they're so thrilled to see pierogies. People from the area say it's nice to see that taste of home all over the world. We've been at a store. A friend of mine sent me a picture. They're on vacation in Grenada, and Mrs. T's pierogies are on sale in there.
Is it fair to say there are some states they sell very poorly, and if you go to the average person, they never even heard the word pierogi?
I will that way about half of that. I wouldn't say we sell poorly.
Okay, no.
Our pierogi pocket is the Rust Belt. We are from the Midwest down through Pennsylvania, Ohio, up into New England states. That is our core. Pennsylvania, Ohio, New York, New Jersey, I mean, that is absolutely the breadbasket for Mrs. T's pierogies. We have all of the snow bunnies that jump down, snowbirds, not snow bunnies, snowbirds that fly down
They're
to Florida.
Bunnies, birds,
bird bunnies. And so we have a nice business with the stores in Florida because people have transferred their knowledge and love of pierogies. So with people moving around, they take what they know from home and love and want it and find it and grow it in new markets. So, yeah, we've got a bunch of markets where we're really just starting out still. You get one or two flavors.
Is Iowa one of them?
Yes. Iowa's a small market. Yes.
Mindy Ramsey, our morning colleague, said she has had never eaten a pierogi before she came here. And that's Iowa. I mean, what do they
Not
know?
A shock.
They have cornfields.
Right.
The highlight of their life is driving 50 miles to find a Walmart. So let's not value their lack.
Oh, now, of come on.
Okay, I made that. That's true.
done our job in advertising and promoting and telling them about this food
wonderful
that they're going to love. This food they're going to love. It's on us.
Is there a big moment?
Nothing sells itself. I've learned that.
Is that right?
Nothing sells itself.
Certain things do. Come on. Smokes?
No. Why would they spend the billions on advertising? Why would there be laws preventing them from advertising?
Contraband?
So, contraband. Can you buy contraband?
Well, you know what I mean.
I'm not sure.
All right.
Let's get into that.
I didn't want to say that. Here's what I'm thinking now. When did it leave the pinchers and go to a press? Is that a big move?
Yes. Yeah. We are mechanized.
Yeah, how can
we have a combination?
There's no secret there.
It's cruel and unusual, and OSHA would not be happy about repetitive injuries of people pinching millions and millions of pierogies. So my dad worked with a gentleman, Lou Hoffman, from Shenandoah, and he believed he was a mechanical genius, and he had been doing work with and around machines. But my dad and Lou and my dad's cousin, Chris, together – created.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, there were no pierogi making machines.
This was a local guy who created this genius, you're saying, this engineering genius? Get out of here.
Yeah, together they created the
press.
I know that there's a variety of technologies that come together to make it, but they don't. They existed for other reasons, and it took somebody I know how to put things together and make them work. So Lou is a fine German machinist, and everything would be precise.
But he grew up in Shenandoah.
Himself. Yep. He prided himself in that precision. So the first time he ever made one of the lines, they started it up, and 5 minutes, the machine totally bound up and shut down and because it was too finely tuned. Because we're introducing, it's not a Mercedes engine where everything is controlled, we're introducing flour and potatoes,
amorphous
fats,
blobs
stuff
of
is being
flour.
Introduced.
Yeah.
So as this stuff gets, the machines get exposed to that, it just shut down. So my dad used to tell the story. It broke Lou's heart to have to loosen it up, make it a little sloppy to be able to run.
Stereotypically German, right? I mean, I hate to say that, but
yep.
So what year was this?
Would have been in the 60s.
In the 60s?
Yeah. So I know that we have gone through iterations. It's proprietary because we had to invent the
stuff.
Sure,
yeah.
So we don't talk a lot about it. But there was that combination of people and machine. You'd be using your arms. You'd be using your legs. You could make things turn and spin and rotate and close and pinch, and it evolved from very, very simple tools to what we're using today.
Who knew there was a German engineer in Shenandoah? This is what I learned today. All right, so now we fast forward. You're married, kids. The kids grew up spoiled to death with pierogi money.
Kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm making
all this
up.
That's true. Yeah. No, my God bless our kids. Tim has three boys. I have two.
Yeah, and of course, I have to ask, do you feel like someone of your siblings or you, their kids, will continue this?
I don't know. We're not getting the sense of that at this point.
No?
Yeah, they're all pursuing different paths.
And I
which,
wonder,
again, is a continuation, which I hope to continue, of not pressuring the kids. If they want to, then we'd certainly be willing to figure out a way to let them come back into the business. But if they don't want to,
yeah,
they shouldn't feel pressured.
No,
they shouldn't feel obligated. That's not right.
Is there a chance? Here's the question I shouldn't ask that my wife would say, why did you say that? in 20 years, 30 years, Mrs. T's Pierogies is bought out by a conglomerate and it's just Johnson & Johnson or something like that. I mean, that could happen. You probably had offers and you turned them down. You could do that. You can cash out and you can have your own little island on Key West right now.
Is that my mission? Is that what God has me on this earth to do?
No, but right, that happens.
Yeah, sure.
There's not too many big shot in every state in the union food distribution companies that are privately owned and based by a family in one little small town.
I don't know anymore. There's something happening in the industry that people are making new things. If you're starting up with a niche in mind, you can say, I am going to be gluten-free. I'm going to be organic. I'm going to be non-GMO. All these things that resonate with today's consumers. Okay, and there's beauty in that. And some of the big companies have found that it's easier to buy one of those companies that is able to be successful in that niche than to try to do it themselves because, one, the big company will not be granted the right to be in that field.
Okay.
The consumer will say, I don't sense any authenticity, so I don't want to buy my organic hummus from ConAgra. I don't know.
Gotcha. No, stuff that makes
sense. That's a thing. But the other one is not that they can't do a good job. I think that's an unfair characterization, that they can't stay authentic to the product. Sometimes it's hard. I mean, a big company, any company like us, okay, we're a flour-based company. And we have flour for the dough. For us to go gluten-free would require a whole different recipe, which is not impossible, but then I have to have a facility to run it that is not contaminated with gluten, for lack of a better phrase. Contaminated is not the right word. But tainted. I'd have to... No, not tainted, because there's nothing wrong with gluten you have celiac.
And that's like less than 1% of the population.
Yeah,
that's like
it's a serious problem for them.
I understand that, but you can't cater to every genetic or dietary abnormal. Can you?
Sure. Well, I might not be able to, given the scope or scale of and the costs of my business. But somebody starting could.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it.
Okay.
I mean, the population for people who want to buy gluten-free, I believe, I'm just guessing here, spitballing, is probably larger than the population of people who wanted frozen pierogies in 1952.
Wow, okay.
Woo. So, come on.
But there is a little trendy aspect to that.
People,
you know it.
I don't know.
People think they are gluten-free
may
not
even
healthier.
Be. Yeah, they
think it's healthier. Yeah,
they think it's healthier.
It's not.
I don't know what the science is yet.
I'm
the science.
It definitely
is. Okay. I'll take you as expert.
Unless you have celiac disorder.
I would love to do it. It requires, because you're trying to be true and authentic to the people who need them to be gluten-free.
Right.
You can't make it in an environment that has gluten, flour. So our packaging, we list allergens. Now, me buying and running the operations, we didn't have a concern over allergens. That's an evolution of society.
Yes.
So now our complication, when we look at the decision tree to make pierogies – in the factory.
Decision tree.
Yeah. It's, okay, what did we make? What do we have to make next? What does it conflict with? So if I have bacon, obviously conflicts with our kosher dietary laws, so there's only certain times and ways we can run that. Then there are, is it vegan? For us to then complicate things with certain ingredients that we have, whether there's a nut allergy that we have to worry about.
Low fat, low sodium, you can take that to a million different places.
It is.
Right.
And so it makes it really complicated to figure out how to do what you're trying to do every day, make what you're making, and absolutely honor the promise you're making to your consumers that when I say this, and this is a food term, it's adulterated. When I say my food's not adulterated, I mean it. And good companies take great lengths to make sure that there's nothing in that's not supposed to be there.
Folks, he's getting awful serious on us. We got to lighten things up with some questions.
Cut all that serious.
No, I love all the serious stuff. All right. Here's my question for Tom Twardzik. What's something you've always wanted to stuff in a pierogi, but the stuffed shirts over the years would never go for it? You are the stuffed
shirt.
That's
stuffed
Joey
shirt
from Weatherly. Did you ever? I don't know. You probably get that all the time.
Sure. I mean, we constantly think of what else can we put in, what's going to add to the line and not take away.
That's right. You don't want to do the jump the pierogi shark. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all watched the Flintstones. Once they started adding, who is it, little... Or the Scooby-Doo, Scrappy.
Oh, yes.
Or Happy Days. Oh, let's bring in Chachi. Once you do too much, you're doing too little. You got to keep it pure sometimes. Keep it pure, baby.
Listen to consumers. Listen to your customers. They'll tell you what they want you to do. And so there's things like fruit filling.
Come on, Tom. I'm not going to let you do certain things.
All right.
All right, ask him, let's see, we all love the inside of a pierogi. What now, this guy? He's saying the dough is too thick and sometimes too thin, and other pierogies, how do you find that perfect balance? I don't know. Is that...
Well...
That is, I mean, some people like it thick, some people like it thin.
Yeah, so my father said, you know, some people like vanilla, some people like chocolate, some people like strawberry. So we try to keep making the same pierogi that we've been making, because that was one of the things with my dad. He was a fan of the Ray Kroc school of branding and the McDonald's thing. Claims there was a quote, I don't know if he followed up on it, but it makes sense to me. He said, Ray says, I could make a better burger. I can make a more expensive burger, but that's not what people are coming to McDonald's for. McDonald's customers are coming for this burger.
Good point.
That
quick,
they can
easy,
get
simple.
Each and every time, without fail, anywhere in the country. So to make the consistency, that was primary for my dad, because the bond, the relationship between the brand and our consumer is, I ate these and I like them. Don't change them. So we work hard to not change that over 66 years of
making.
Makes
total sense. Consistency and
could I imagine a pierogi with a thinner dough? Sure. I mean, there's things I can imagine that I could...
You can do so many things.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. Then you sell yourself to...
But the record of success of consumers telling us they like this tells us we should keep doing this.
And it's all marketing.
Finding out from the consumer what they want, yeah.
I like Dennis. He's like, tell Mr. Big Shot to come out with a double stuffed pierogi. All right, Mr. Big Shot.
I like his idea.
Double stuffed.
I love dough. I mean, I'm a...
Double stuffed.
I'm a dough fan. So I love it, and I love the combination of our filling and our dough. I love the mouthfeel. I love the texture. You know?
I'm with you, bro, but you have to say
and
that,
I
too,
would
right?
love to put... No.
A double stuff?
I don't have to say that.
I know you. Well.
It's true, and it's genuine. when it's not, that's when somebody else will be running the place. I love them. I would love to put more filling in. I don't think I can do an Oreo double stuff because I don't know how to do that.
How do you
that.
Do that? You'd have a thin slice of dough in the middle.
I would have to make a big... No, I wouldn't put more dough in. You'd make a bigger dome and fill it with more filling.
Too much surface area. You have to have something containing it a little bit. Little
well,
pockets.
That dough stretches. So true a flat that. Sheet of dough gets stretched to make the pocket that I put the filling in.
Tom, you're thinking about this one too much. Let's change the subject here. You can be pure and honest. Are you ready?
Uh-oh.
Van Halen, David... Or Sammy. Come on. What I mean, are you going to go old school with David Lee Roth?
My friends went to see Black Sabbath in concert 100 years ago when Van Halen was just touring, and they were the warm-up band for Black Sabbath. I didn't go to the concert, but I was asking people how the show was. Oh, Sabbath was great, but oh, the warm-up act, Van Halen, they were incredible. And then next thing you know, they're on a rocket ship.
So you're going
fame.
With David Lee Roth.
I never quite appreciated his singing style.
What? So you're going Sammy Hagar, 80s? My goodness.
I get Hagar more.
Speaking of podcasts,
I can play heavy metal for you right now.
We know. Oh, you can play the guitar.
I can play the guitar.
He can play the guitar, folks. Speaking of that, I listened to a podcast. Guess who was in it last week?
David Lee Roth.
They say never meet your idols. Like I ended up not even liking the guy.
Oh.
So I don't know if that takes away from my van.
So what's that mean for me now?
He was like, yeah, you were right. Sammy Hagar, I've heard.
Anybody listens to this iPod, I'm dead to them.
Ask him if Mrs. T is still married to Mr. T. I haven't seen Mr. T in a long time. I don't know if they're referring to you.
I think they're referring to my mom and dad, Ted and Jean.
Yeah.
My dad passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away in 2016.
Okay. And Mrs. T is still doing fine.
Yep. Still the reigning Mrs. T.
Same home? She,
yep.
Isn't that something?
Yep. They did do the snowbird bit. They had a place. They were their Florida residence. So she'd spend half a year in Florida and Yeah, my dad referred to it as his summer home in Shenandoah.
Ah, yeah. Who doesn't want to be a snowbird? I can see me going in that direction. Come on. You hate winter as much as I do?
Maybe not as much, but we are definitely getting tired of it.
Yeah.
My wife is, she's done with it now.
I'm not so much a winter hater as I am an outdoor lover. What
yeah.
can you do in the winter? Come on. You're limited.
It is limited.
Yes, I sit around and eat pierogies all day.
Well, then I don't want you to move. You got to stay.
All right. So here you are today in 50 states.
Yes.
Kicking butt, running the business. All is well.
Yeah.
At Channel 16 doing a podcast.
Who'd have thunk it?
Feeling good, listening to Sammy Hagar run Van Halen, not so much anymore. And
no, there are definitely David Lee Roth Van Halen songs I like.
But I
there
know.
Were just some stylistic things that would drive me nuts about David.
You don't
Lee
like
Roth.
When he goes, ah!
The screeching, the losing, the, I mean, stay
the
in
tight
pitch,
leather pants.
You know? Well, hey, if you can, do it.
Well, it's been great hanging out with you. Could you think of anything
I left? Time's not up, is it?
I can't believe it's already an hour.
Wow.
People are going to be fast-forwarding their iPod.
Yeah,
iPod. Did I say iPod? No one
you
has
said
those.
iPod.
Their iPhone. Anything Android. I left out that you want to wrap this thing up and say, Snedeker, how dare he not ask me that?
No. Well, you did not even glance at the gift I brought for you.
Well, because this is an audio podcast only.
Oh, okay.
I can post this. Is it worth me seeing or and getting my reaction now? Or
sure, why not?
Here we go, folks. He brought me a present. The bag is being opened. He is smirking. He is reaching into the bag. He is pulling the bag out. He is... I'm going to vomit.
It's not visual.
I'm going to vomit.
Oh, come on.
It is broccoli and cheddar, Mrs. T's pierogies. Broccoli is gross.
You just spent 2 days ago.
Prunes are gross.
Shooting down. Oh, prunes was one of our first flavors.
I got to end with this suggestion.
See, that's now the guy that asked, what else could we put back in the pierogies? I'm going to put prunes back in the pierogies
no.
just for you. Not prunes
the
and broccoli
prunes
together.
Have to go forever. Broccoli has to go forever.
They're good.
And then we do a cheesesteak.
Ooh.
Dun, 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 dun,
I know
dun,
a guy. Dun, he wants me to make a cheesesteak pierogi.
Dun, 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 dun,
I have to
dun.
Call him.
And folks, I will end on my new passion and mission in life is to make Tom here get his business to make a cheesesteak Mrs. T's pierogi.
One full size or mini or both?
Gigantic size.
Gigantic.
Double stuffed.
Ooh.
And that is a wrap.
Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything. Mr. Curiosity.
Outro. Curious, curious, curious. All right. Are your curiosities now solved? Come on. That was it. The great Tom Twardzik. Everything you wanted to know about Mrs. T's pierogies. Now, what's on your mind right now? Other things. I know. You're thinking, hey, this guy would be great with Snedeker. Hey, I want to know how that thing is made. I want to know why that happens. Hey, I know John down the road. He's a blank, 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 and he'd be blank, blank, blank. All these blanks you have to help us with. We're going to do a lot of curious items here, and it's up to you. Send in a suggestion. Keep listening and spread the word. My email is joe.snedeker@wnep.com. We have information on our website, wnep.com. So send us some suggestions and just stay tuned and keep listening. And whatever you do, here's my big finish. Are you ready? Keep on rocking in the free world.
Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything. Mr. Curiosity.